Good morning. My wife whispered something in my ear a while ago and told me to share this with you. So at her request, I'm going to share this because I came into the bakery this week and I shared this with Loretta and Ann. I heard a lady telling about collecting boxes for Samaritan's Purse. She's from West Virginia. And she was telling this story, and she said that she went to Boone to the headquarters of Samaritan's Purse on Thanksgiving weekend and asked to see Franklin Graham. And the lady said, well, he's not in his office today. He's with his family. She said, well, I have some shoe boxes that I would like to turn in. She said, well, put them in the foyer. The lady said she was from West Virginia. She didn't know what a foyer was. But she said, if you're talking about that little hallway out there, I've got a truckload of boxes. There's not room out there for my boxes. She said, I want to talk to Franklin Graham. Well, finally, the lady called him. And she said, I could tell that there was a little bit of argument going on, that he didn't want to come down. But the lady said, I think you need to come and see this lady, the lady in the office. And so the lady stands outside, and Franklin Graham comes up and said, are you Franklin Graham? He said, yes, I am. She said, well, I have some shoeboxes I want to turn in. Well, her truck was down the hill from where they were talking. And he said, well, just put them in the foyer. She said, I want you to come down and see the truck. But she said, there's an evangelist that I can't think of his name. Billy Graham. Said, are you any kin to him? He said, yeah, that's my father. She said, she opened the door of the truck and said she could see his shop. Because these had come from a place in West Virginia where it was a lot of poverty. She wanted all these to go to Bosnia. Franklin Graham said, how would you like to go to Bosnia with us and deliver? And he said, but it's a war zone there. She said, yeah, I know that. He said, well, you have to wear a certain kind of coat. She said, I couldn't wear that coat. But anyway, this lady got to go to Bosnia to deliver those boxes with Franklin Graham. So, everybody can do their part, even people in a poverty area. I would like for us to turn in our Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. If Loretta and I seem a little bit out of it today, we just had 4 more people added to the population of our house and 2 dogs yesterday. And we all made it through the first night. The only place that was cleared were the beds. So be praying for us as we try now. I feel like the last month I've been moving. I've been moving out, and now it's time for us to move in, and our space has been limited where we're going to live from now on. Psalm 103, the first 2 verses of this psalm say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His name. What does it mean to bless? I remember, especially right after being in high school and playing football, of talking about my football coach blessing us out. And I shared this in Canada when I went up there, and these people responded, I bet he blessed you. Well, that's not what we're talking about here, not that kind of blessing. But to bless the Lord, to kneel, to bless God as an act of adoration, to praise, to salute. And it's not just talking about acknowledging by our mouths, but by our lives. We should be blessing the Lord with our lives as well. It's too often that we say words with our mouth, but our actions do not back them up. And it says, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Every part of my being, every area of my life. If there's a room in your life, if there's a room within you that you haven't yielded to the Lord, He wants that part too. He wants all of us, every part of us, to be blessed in Him. Nothing between our Lord and the Savior. You know, in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40, Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I want to have all of you. And the psalmist is saying that we should be blessing the Lord in that way. I did something recently up in Danville on a Wednesday night when I was asked to speak. And I entitled it this, The Words of the Contemporary Church. And I shared the words of a contemporary song. And I spoke on this and applied the scripture to it. Just recently, I sent a letter to a fellow who has really been going through struggles in his Christian life. And Satan has been winning. And he really likes contemporary songs. And so I sent this song, these words, to him. It's by Matthew West. It's called Emotions. It says, this might hurt. It's not safe. But I know that I've got to make a change. I don't care if I break. At least I'll be feeling something. Because just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. Listen to the chorus. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? No regret. Not this time. I'm going to let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something. Take me all the way. Take me all the way. Take me all the way. I don't want to just go through the motions. You know what? Every one of us at some time in our Christian lives have just been going through the motions. Can you imagine a man who is a pastor of a church who has to give a message on Sunday morning and a message on Sunday night and a message on Wednesday night, and you wonder how many times does he just go through the motions? Because he's got to do this. And we have our reputation is at stake. And so we sometimes don't even feel like we're Christians. If we went by feelings. And then we just go through the motions. Well, Matthew West says, I don't want to just go through the motions. And if we're going to bless the Lord this Thanksgiving, don't just go through the motions. Don't just do it because it's expected of you. But bless Him with your whole being. Give Him everything. Take me all the way is what your desire should be. And then that second verse says, forget not all His benefits. I want us to think about some of the benefits that we have listed here in Psalm 103. And the Lord gives us seven benefits here that I would like to call your attention to. First of all, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, in verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, we have different words that are used in Scripture to describe sin. I've been hearing people recently say that they had a problem. You know what? We need to be calling it sin and not a problem. We need to call it what it is. We have politically correct language that we want to use in the church, and we need to call it what the Lord calls it, iniquity or sin. Iniquities is faults, mischief, sin. In Romans 5, 8 and 9 it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." 1 John 1, 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And Isaiah 53, 6, and I know I've shared this with you before, but D.L. Moody was on a streetcar in Chicago, and a man asked him how he could make it from Chicago to heaven. And D.L. Moody had to get off of the streetcar, and he said, "Have you got a Bible at home?" He said he did. He said, "Well, look up Isaiah 53, 6. And he said, "Go in at the first all and come out at the last. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Look at the descriptions in that verse about sin. Astray, our way, iniquities. The one thing that we need to bless the Lord for, that He forgives all our iniquities. All our iniquities. Our sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Sunday school teacher asked the class, "Is there anything God can't do?" And a little boy raised his hand and says, "My daddy said God can't see through Jesus' blood." God can't see through Jesus' blood. The second benefit, who healeth all thy diseases. William MacDonald says, "What the verse says to me is that whenever a believer is healed, this is a mercy from God, and he should be acknowledged and thanked as the healer." And we know there are people sitting right here today who have had God's healing from cancer and from other things that God has blessed their life with. Now, there are those who teach healing in the atonement, and they use a verse like Isaiah 53 and verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed." This is speaking about spiritual healing. We are healed spiritually when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are, with his stripes, we're spiritually healed. The commentary on this in the New Testament is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." By whose stripes you're healed. And we know the context of that is speaking about spiritual healing. But let me say this. And I'm glad if this is on tape or whatever you're putting it on, that everything I say is going to be on there. So don't just take this out of context. Don't be a newspaper writer and just write this one thing. There is healing in the atonement. It's just not the way that these people are teaching it today. I don't know why any of us who know the Lord as our Savior, who have read the Scriptures, who have seen the description of heaven, would want to stay here forever. You know, and why we're so afraid of getting on that next load that's going to heaven. But there is healing in the atonement, because when Jesus died on that cross, He died in order that we could go to heaven, to live with Him forever. And we're going to have new bodies. There's not going to be any sickness. We're going to have, if we have hair, we're going to have all of it. We're not going to have all these bald spots. But we're going to have everything. It's going to be a perfect, and we're going to like our bodies. We're going to like our looks if you don't like them now. So there is healing in the atonement. It's just when it takes place. So when you pray to the Lord for healing, remember this. That healing could be that He'll take you to be with Him forever. And that's a whole lot greater. That's a whole lot greater healing than being healed out here on this earth and have to keep living in this old body that we have that has aches and pains and all this. Who forgiveth, who healeth, The third one is, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You see, it said there, we already read the words about the wrath. And it's going to be eternal damnation for anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you're sitting here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're heading for destruction. And the only way out and the only way to avoid that destruction is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. It says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It's spiritual death. But it'll eventually be everlasting death. Constantly in pain. Constantly suffering. You know, I can't take you to Scripture and point this out, but it talks about those of us who know the Lord having new bodies. But those who die in their sins without the Lord Jesus Christ, I think they're going to go right on through eternity with whatever they have, whether it's cancer or whatever. Because, you know, they're going to be in torments forever and ever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's speaking of that eternal death, perish. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have been bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid the penalty in order that we might be redeemed. He paid the price for our redemption. He forgiveth, He healeth, He redeemeth. And then the fourth thing that we should bless the Lord for, it's in verse 4, it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the demonstration of that loving kindness. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. And this is His promise of coming back again, of taking the church up to be with Him. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. And some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's His loving kindness. He's long-suffering. His loving kindness is demonstrated in the fact that He hadn't sent every one of us to hell. Because if we got what we deserved, that's where we would be. It says in Psalm 63:3-4, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. I want to take a little test here. How many of you have ever sung this song from the Scriptures? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Come on, hold your hands up. You'll see the age here. Okay, there's some that are younger. You know, with all our translations now, it's hard to sing that song. When we just had the King James, we were all able to sing. And we used to sing Scripture all the time. I can remember as young people, we would sing the Scriptures. But this is one of the songs. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. I lift them up, Lord, in Thy name. I lift them up, Lord, in Thy name. My lips shall praise Thee, thus will I bless Thee. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Who crowneth Thee with loving kindness. And then, who crowneth Thee with tender mercies. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. His tender mercies. Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In the 26 verses of Psalm 136, each verse ends with For His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. He forgiveth, He healeth, He redeemeth, He crowneth with loving kindness, He crowneth with tender mercies. I remember hearing an evangelist tell of a big-time gangster here in the United States that they had been trying to deport. And he was going to federal court for trial, and this evangelist was with him, and he said, "I'm going to pray that you get justice." And that man said, "No, no, don't do that. Pray for mercy. Because if he got what he deserved, they would have thrown him in jail and thrown away the key. But mercy." And that's what every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior are the recipients of: God's mercy and not His justice. Number six, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Verses 5-9 talk about this. Would you look in your Bibles at Psalm 103:5? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always shy, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? He provides us with what we need to stay alive. He provides us with the food that we need to eat. And some of you maybe think, "Well, I go out and work, and I have to really work hard to get this money to buy this food." But the Lord provided you with the job in order that you could buy the food. But He has provided us with it. And the one thing, when you go right down to it, had it not been for the Lord providing the sun and the right climate, none of this food would have grown. He has provided. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, and I think of this every time I read this, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." It says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." He gives us the strength. He provides us with the food. It says in Genesis 1, 11 and 12, this was on the third day of creation, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God provided on the third day what we needed to live, to build up our bodies, to strengthen us. And then on the sixth day, after He had created man, He said this to Adam in Genesis 1:29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." So we want to bless the Lord because He has forgiven, He forgiveth, He healeth, He redeemeth, He crowneth with loving kindness, He crowneth with tender mercies, He satisfieth our mouths with good things. The seventh one is found in verse 10 through 22, who removeth our transgressions from us. And you might think, well, that's the same thing as who forgiveth our iniquities. He forgives our iniquities, but not only does He forgive, He removes them. I don't understand, I cannot comprehend how an all-knowing God cannot know anything about our sins anymore. But He says it, and I believe it. He removes our transgressions from us. And that verse 10 says that He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his commandment, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who removeth our transgressions from us. Romans 6:23. As we said already, the wages of sin is death. But here the Lord describes the distance from earth to heaven and uses an illustration of the greatness of God's mercy in removing our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? You start going east and you'll keep going east. He says, as far as the east is from the west, as far as he removed our transgressions from us. There's no way for us to measure God's mercy. There's no word in the English language that is suitable to describe God's mercy. It says in 1 Peter 1:18-24, as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for us. Precious blood. That word precious is used when there's no other word to use. It's precious. It's not, you cannot measure it. There's no measuring device that can measure the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Vines says the word precious means costly, very expensive, very costly. And we can all say that about the mercy of the Lord. And the fact that not only does he forgive our sins, but he removes our transgressions from us. He gives us the power, he gives us the ability to overcome. Now, here we have seven benefits that we should bless the Lord for. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, who crowneth thee with tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, who removeth our transgressions from us. But are we only to bless God and thank God for the good things? Are we not also to thank him for the bad things that happen in our lives? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now I heard someone say, it didn't say giving thanks for everything. It says give thanks in everything. Well, listen to this verse, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. The bad things that happen in our lives. Earthquakes, landslides, tornadoes, hurricanes. Most of these things we've heard about this year. Tsunamis, the death of a loved one. Health problems like cancer, heart problems. Unfaithfulness of a partner. Divorce. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. That's us as Christians. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Even the bad things work together for good. And I've seen this in recent weeks. Some bad things that have happened to members in our family. And yet I've seen how the Lord has used those bad things. One thing that I wrote to this fellow, you know, I said, you know, it's like being in a classroom. And certain ones the teacher punishes. And the rest of us get the message. Even though we don't get the punishment, we get the message. And we start doing some heart searching of our own to see where we stand with the Lord. When we see another Christian get out of line and not living for the Lord and living in the world, it's a wake-up call to us. It's a warning to us to be on guard. Job is one of the greatest examples of someone who could give thanks when everything looked bad. I mean, it really looked bad. Most of us would be in depression if what happened to Job happened to us. We wouldn't even be able to get up in the morning. In Job chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it talks about his 500 donkeys and 1,000 oxen were taken, were stolen. And then in verse 16 of Job chapter 1, 7,000 sheep were destroyed. And in verse 17, 3,000 camels were stolen. And in verse 18 and 19, his 10 children were killed by a tornado. And listen to what Job said in Job 1, 20, 21, and 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Satan wasn't finished with him yet, though. The Lord allowed Satan to cover Job with boils, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And here this man was in agony and pain. He'd lost everything he had. And in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. He's still giving God glory. He had everything taken away and even his health. And he's still blessing the Lord. Have we got anything to bless the Lord for this Thanksgiving? I think every one of us has a whole lot to bless Him for. The very fact that you're able to sit right here today is enough to give thanks to Him, to bless Him. But when the bad times come, giving Him thanks for those bad things that are happening in your life. And glorify Him. You know, Ellie Maxwell used to tell us there at Prairie Bible Institute, said Job didn't have any more sense than to give God credit for everything. Well, that's the kind of sense we all need. Give God credit for everything. And praise Him for what He's done in your life. Praise Him that you have a roof over your head. I'm thankful that all six of us in my house last night had a bed to sleep on and a roof over our heads. Even though we got little paths we have to walk through. You know, if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come to know Him and you can have an attitude like Job. And those of us who are not living as close to the Lord as we should, we need to search within our hearts and we need to let Him have all. It says there, all that is within me, bless His holy name. And let's go into this Thanksgiving season blessing Him with all that is within us, because we're not allowing anything in our lives that's going to hinder us from giving him the blessing that he deserves. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm that encourages us to bless you, to bless the Lord, and to let all that is within us bless his holy name. To remember all the benefits that we have in Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. And Lord, we pray that we might in turn honor and glorify and exalt your name. And as we enter into this Thanksgiving season, as we get together with family and friends, Lord, help us to bless the Lord with all of our being for all that we have. And help us to bless you and to praise you and to thank you even for the bad things. Because we know that even these bad things are going to work together for good to every one of us who love God, to every one of us who are called according to his purpose. Thank you for our time here today, and we just pray your blessings upon each family that's represented here, and just pray that everyone would have a blessed Thanksgiving season. And we ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.